It's gonna be scary. Not for us.
All engine running. Liftoff.
Start on Thompson, steps right, shoots for the win of three. He got it! He got it!
This ain't my first rodeo.
Westbrook to the basket. Turns Schroeder around. Russell Westbrook.
His house, the three and the lead. You betcha.
Covington, biggest shot of the game, and he hits it. The corner.
PJ Tucker.
Doors by Golden Bridge.
It's time to accomplish something together that we haven't accomplished before.
We both understand that we have one common goal, and that's to win a championship, so.
Let's get it.
A decision has finally been made as Steven Silas has been tapped to be the next coach of your Houston Rockets. Also, Daryl Morey saying sayonara to Houston and is now jumping ship and going to the Philadelphia 76ers, and we will talk about all of that and more on today's episode. So what's up, and welcome to another episode of Locked on Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked on Podcast Network, your team every day. Today's episode is brought to you by rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian and the founder slash managing editor of ClutchCityControlRoom.com, your home for all things Houston hoops. You can follow me on Twitter at JT Gatlin, the show, of course, at Locked on Rockets, and of course, the blog at ClutchCityCR. So we have a coach, finally! The Rockets actually have a coach. After sitting on their thumbs for weeks, they have finally tapped Steven Silas as the Rockets' new head coach. So the former Dallas Mavericks assistant, who was the mastermind behind the greatest offense in NBA history, the greatest offense in the NBA last season, as well as the greatest offense in NBA history, offensive mastermind, Steven Silas, is now the Rockets' new head coach. Not only that, we do have the news that Daryl Morey has been in rapid discussion, rapid talks, and has basically finalized a deal to be the president of basketball operations for the Philadelphia 76ers for the next 5 years. So the smokescreen of potentially wanting to spend time with his family and maybe stepping out of the NBA limelight for a little while, all of that that I was operating under the assumption of and that many others were operating under the assumption of in regards to Daryl Morey seems to have fallen by the wayside, and it looks like he will still be a major player in the NBA next season. I will talk about that more, but in the final segment, because these first two segments, I want to talk about the new Rockets head coach, Steven Silas, and I will have to start by saying, look, at no point was I ever anti-Steven Silas, right? I was leaning Jeff Van Gundy, and I still think the logic there was somewhat sound in that with James Harden and Russell Westbrook, there's a certain floor to that offense. And it felt like the Rockets were going to be a sound offensive team no matter what, but if JVG was able to catapult them into the top 5, top 10 range of NBA defenses, I should say, then they would have a legitimate shot at a title. Now, I will say, and I will get on, I want to talk about the assistant coaches that ideally would surround Steven Silas, and there's already some rumors and some reporting by Jonathan Fagan of the Houston Chronicle, who I trust Jonathan's sources pretty well. He's pretty plugged into what's going on with the Houston Rockets, you know, having been the beat writer for a couple decades now. I trust him wholeheartedly with any sources that he might have plugged into the situation. And it's also been reported by a couple other outlets, but I'll talk about those assistants in just a minute. It makes sense that Steven Silas, you know, going the direction with Silas, you know, being able to continue to hone in on what the Rockets excel at with James Harden and Russell Westbrook and maintaining a top NBA offense is ideal, because to be able to win in this league, you need to have both a top offense and a top defense. So I was never anti-Silas. I just thought that, you know, bringing in JVG, having a bit more of a veteran coach, somebody who's kind of been there, knows the runaround rather than a rookie head coach. But at the same time, Silas has been an NBA lifer, basically. You know, his father, Paul Silas, you know, he's been, you know, NBA star in the league, former head coach, has been around the league since he could walk. So for Steven Silas, it's not exactly like he's alien to the idea of being a head coach. He's been basically a head coach in waiting for a number of years now. And looking at what his history is, you know, as a coach in the NBA, you know, he started his assistant coaching career at just 27 years old at the time with as a scout, started as a scout with the Hornets, but then was tapped to be an assistant coach after that first year. And at the time, I believe it was he was 27 years old. So at the time, the youngest assistant coach ever in NBA history, which was then that title was taken over by none other than J.B. Bickerstaff, former Rockets assistant coach and Rockets head coach, interim head coach, I should say. But, you know, he's shown over the past couple decades that he is more than capable. He's had stops in Cleveland and helped, you know, a young LeBron James get acclimated as, you know, a player development coach with the Cavaliers. Did the same thing with the Warriors, with Steph Curry as he was getting his start in the league. And then now, you know, he's been with the Dallas Mavericks for the past couple years and has really, you know, energized that team and really led the, you know, has a great blueprint, I should say, for his track record as far as player development goes and what he's been able to do throughout his career. Now, I know that, you know, some people, you could be listening to this and thinking, okay, well, player development, that's not exactly something that the Rockets need because they have a veteran roster, they have an established roster, but it's not just player development. It's also the ingenuity behind how innovative he can be offensively. I'm sure if you're not doing so already, I would suggest you go follow Disney Gary Clark on Twitter because he's already sharing some videos of the Mavericks offense from this past season and some of the wrinkles that Steven Silas uses in his offensive sets, which, again, he was a large proponent of the best-rated offense in NBA history this past season with the Dallas Mavericks. And the biggest part, right, the piece that makes the most sense to me is Silas gets to move from the Dallas Mavericks with Luka Doncic to the Houston Rockets with James Harden. James Harden and Luka are extremely similar players. So if he was able to accomplish the best offense in NBA history with Luka Doncic at the helm, who's only, you know, his second year in the league, you know, finishing in top five, top six MVP voting with a second year player who has obviously a lot of upside. The Mavericks are going to have a very bright future ahead. But what can he accomplish with James Harden, who is already at his NBA peak? You know, Harden's got, you know, a couple years left of his prime, hopefully, before we start to see any sort of certifiable decline. And so Silas is going to get to utilize Harden in ways that we've probably never seen before. I know that Mike D'Antoni was largely touted as an offensive genius, but MDA was also very, very hands-off with his coaching of James Harden. You know, a lot of times it was just give the ball to Harden, give him the space to operate, and let Harden dictate what happens offensively with the team. And that makes a lot of sense. And it worked. It worked a great deal. And that's a testament to Harden's greatness. But at the same time, I'm so excited to see what Steven Silas can do with a bit more of, say, a hands-on approach in running sets and specific plays to generate wide-open looks for players rather than just relying on the sheer gravity and talent of James Harden or even of Russell Westbrook, for that matter. He's got two former MVP guards to play with in this Houston roster. And now that the Rockets actually have a head coach locked in, it'll be interesting to see where the franchise moves as far as potential roster moves, you know, what direction they're going to go. Do they pull in a rim-running big, you know, maybe a dollar store Clint Capella type to kind of replace some of that production, you know, on a 15 to 20 minutes per night basis? Do they stick to small ball full-time? Do they bring back Jeff Green? Do they bring back in Gerald Green? All of these questions we will hopefully have answers to shortly now that the head coaching domino has finally fallen, because that was the first one. We had to get the head coaching domino to fall to be able to answer some of these other looming questions surrounding the franchise. But for, you know, in a day where we found out that Daryl Morey was moving on to the Philadelphia 76ers pretty early in the day, it's nice to have finally had the head coaching news drop so that we have a bit of good news and a bit of excitement surrounding the franchise rather than just all this doom and gloom that has been around the block for a minute now. So coming up in this next segment, I want to talk about Silas a bit more, and I also want to talk about what it would look like to, you know, some of the rumored names to fill out his staff, and we'll get there in just a moment after a quick message from our friends over at rockauto.com. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers, whereas rockauto.com's prices are the exact same for everybody, and they're always reliably low. They always offer the lowest possible prices rather than changing their prices around based on what the market will bear, sort of like what airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody, and they don't require like account login or membership to be able to shop on their site. You know, their catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even brand new carpet. So whether it's for your classic or your daily driver, get everything that you need in just a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. So go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. And be sure, this is the super important part, be sure to write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. And we're back here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. How are you feeling about the Steven Silas hire? If you want to call in, 713-487-5457. You can call in, drop a message, let me know how you're feeling about Steven Silas as the new head coach for the Rockets, or do me a favor, drop a review on Apple, on the Apple iTunes store. Drop a review there, let me know how you're feeling about it. I'll read it back on the show, you know, anything like that. Or DM me on Twitter, Instagram, whatever. Share your thoughts. I want to know how you're feeling about it. But ultimately, I'm feeling pretty good about this hire. It feels like, again, when I was discussing the pros and cons between JVG and Steven Silas, it's, you know, it felt like JVG having a bit more of that name recognition, maybe a bit more of that gravitas behind him to be able to help kind of steer the ship with two veteran guys in Harden and Westbrook made a little bit more sense. But also, the Silas hiring makes sense for the long term. It's exciting for the here and now, but it's also exciting as a refreshing image for the Houston Rockets, right? They've been Mike D'Antoni and Daryl Morey for so long now that they get to bring in a new, fresh-faced head coach, somebody, you know, some fresh blood, right? That's something that's always exciting and has the potential to be that lightning in the bottle factor, just like Nick Nurse with the Toronto Raptors just, you know, one short season ago. You bring in that fresh-faced, you know, excited, innovative new head coach, and maybe you get a little lucky and you know, things break a little your way finally. So we know the offense isn't going to be an issue. We know that this Rockets team, with Harden and Westbrook at the helm, with all the shooters that they have, with all the talent that they have, and now with Steven Silas sitting firmly in the head coaching spot, we know that offense is not going to be an issue for this ball club. What we do know is that the defense will need help. So who do you bring in as the lead assistant? Who do you bring in to revamp the Rockets defense? And right now, per Jonathan Fagan of the Houston Chronicle, Nate McMillan and Jeff Hornacek are two of the names that are being touted as potential assistants to Steven Silas's staff, as well as current Rockets player development coach and, you know, coach who was in the running for the head coaching spot, John Lucas, would ideally remain on and potentially be bumped up from just player development to an assistant coach role on this roster, you know, on this roster of assistant coaches behind Steven Silas. But Nate McMillan is really exciting as a counterbalance to Steven Silas, right? I was saying, you know, whether it was JVG or Silas, either way, you've got a defensive-minded guy and then an offensive-minded guy. And when you have a coach who leans so much in one direction of the game of basketball, you need a lead assistant to then balance out the ideology of that coach to be able to focus on the other side, right? Let Silas focus on what he excels at, which is obviously going to be the offense. So then who do you bring in? Nate McMillan to be the lead assistant, to be the defensive guru, to be able to help with the, you know, the designing of a new potential, a potentially new defensive scheme, or to build upon the current scheme, the switch everything defense that we've seen for years now. I think that with McMillan, if that actually comes to fruition, I think that's going to be extremely interesting to see, you know, because as far as he ran things in Indiana, which was his most recent coaching stint, he ran a more of a traditional style of defense, right? He ran two traditional bigs, you know, so it's going to be interesting to see what direction they go with the roster personnel to make that change happen. But, you know, McMillan has had 16 years of head coaching experience in the NBA, as well as being a former player. You know, he has an extremely impressive resume. And even though, again, even though that's a down step for him, having been an assistant before with the Pacers, most recently from 2013 to 2016, and then being the head coach of the Pacers for the last four seasons, even though it's a down step for him, there's no other coaching spots available. So, you know, and that's also, that's a side note, that's also really got to be really frustrating for Mike D'Antoni, who was the lead, you know, coaching candidate for the 76ers, and then the lead coaching candidate, you know, it seemed, for the Pacers as well, with both of those organizations vying for his services. And now MDA is potentially going to be out of luck with no position anywhere except as maybe an assistant somewhere. Maybe they bring in MDA as an assistant up with the Brooklyn Nets to reunite with Steve Nash and Amari Stoudemire. Who knows? But Nate McMillan, you know, coming in and being the lead assistant, being the defensive mastermind behind Steven Silas, but also bringing that head coaching experience, right? Bringing more of a veteran voice to help guide Steven Silas through his first season and, you know, first year as a new head coach, as a rookie head coach, even though he's been kind of a head coach in waiting for a while, even though he was, you know, has interviewed for head coaching positions before and just hasn't had the luck fall his way. Obviously, he interviewed for the Rockets head coaching position back in 2016. So he was the, back then in 2016, he was the Daryl Morey candidate of the Houston Rockets, and then Leslie Alexander wanted Mike D'Antoni, and ultimately the owner gets the final say, so Leslie went with MDA, and we know how that panned out. You know, very impressive seasons under MDA, but just ultimately not able to knock down that door and get to the finals and really push for a chip. But with Steven Silas, you know, it's fresh-faced, you know, innovative, exciting. The idea of Nate McMillan and then Jeff Hornacek behind him. Now, side note, Jeff Hornacek, you know, having been a member of those Utah Jazz teams that many Rockets fans still despise to this day from the 90s, that's an interesting one. It would be quite a trip to see him hanging out over on the sidelines on the Houston Rockets bench. But, you know, he's had, you know, some stints as a head coach, you know, has been in and around the league for decades, you know, knows the game of basketball and would be, you know, an interesting, I guess, voice to add to that coaching staff. Again, I'm a little bit more hype about the McMillan bit than I am about Jeff Hornacek. He hasn't had exactly a whole lot of success as a coach. Did a few years with the Phoenix Suns, a couple years with the Knicks, but you know, it's the Suns and the Knicks, so, and the Suns have been kind of a turbulent franchise for the better part of a decade now, ever since the end of the Steve Nash, Amari Stoudemire era. But legitimately, it's exciting to see that there's actually some direction for the franchise now, and to see where this team actually goes from here. And here's what I want to sign off with that's really interesting, and I need to do a head count. I think the number was sixth, but Steven Silas becomes just the sixth black head coach in the NBA. And now the Rockets, if the Nate McMillan thing also occurs, the Rockets will have a black general manager, a black head coach, and a black lead assistant. And I believe the Rockets are going to be the only organization in the NBA that has all black individuals in each one of those respective roles. So that's pretty cool. Like, I think that'd be a first. So just shout out there, and the fact that the Rockets are, you know, at the forefront of, you know, continuing the trend of diversity in the NBA, a league that is 75% to 80% black, needs more black representation in front offices and in coaching circles. And it's really cool that the Rockets went that route. So shout out to Houston for doing that. You know, more teams should follow suit. You know, and giving Steven Silas, who has proven for years now that he is more than capable of being a head coach and finally getting the opportunity to do so here with your beloved Houston Rockets, is going to be exciting. I can't wait to see how that pans out. So this is just my initial reaction to it. I want to pull in. I'm going to circle around and see who I can pull in from the who I can pull in that covers the Dallas Mavericks, and try and see if we can get a deep dive on Steven Silas and some of the adjustments and changes. Just kind of to get an expectation of what we can come to expect from him as the Rockets head coach, as well as depending on, you know, once we get some finalized news on the Nate McMillan situation, I'll also have to do some poking and prodding around my Pacer circles and see who I can pull on the show to talk about Nate McMillan and the expectations of him and potentially what a defense that is led by him, you know, in Houston would look like. So I think that's just, again, initial reaction to this. It's exciting. And again, we'll be breaking this down as news trickles out more and more about the assistant coaches and what more we can expect from this. But final segment coming up here in just a moment where we will talk about Daryl Morey and the Philadelphia 76ers. So we'll get there in just one moment. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Be sure to subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you listen to your podcast, hit the subscribe button. That way you get the show immediately rather than having to wait for it to show up on social media and me to start shouting about it on Twitter, all that good stuff. But this day started out with a bit of a gut punch. You know, it ended on a high note with the hiring of Steven Silas, thank goodness, but it started out with a bit of a gut punch because we found out earlier in the day that Daryl Morey was in advanced talks to become the new president of basketball operations with the Philadelphia 76ers. And for all intents and purposes, it seemed like Daryl was going to take a year off, take a sabbatical, just kind of move away, you know, focus, spend time with his family for a little bit, step away from the NBA grind, and then maybe entertain the idea of jumping back into the league at a later date. And I was all well and good with that, legitimately. I was like, okay, you know what? Daryl wants to spend time with his family. Cool. The bubble was probably really hard on him, not to mention all the drama and crap that he got based on the China situation. That had to have been tough on him and his family by extension. So I was like, good for him. You know, he's given the Rockets 13 years as the general manager, 14 years to the organization in its entirety, and the man deserves a break. You know, it sucks that he wasn't going to be able to accomplish what he set out to accomplish here with the Rockets to win a title. It sucks that he wasn't able to deliver that to James Harden, but I was cool with it, right? Now, it comes out that he is going to be the president of basketball operations for the Philadelphia 76ers. So he's not taking over as general manager. Elton Brand still holds that spot. But apparently, he's really, really tight with Doc Rivers going back to the Boston Celtics days. And he really, I guess he just really wanted Doc in Houston. And as soon as Doc became available, the Rockets were trying to court Doc Rivers. It didn't work out. And I think maybe the writing was on the wall at that point that maybe if the Rockets had been able to pull in Doc Rivers as the new head coach, then maybe Morey stays. Maybe that was his guy all along that he really wanted. And then they lost out on Doc. They lost out on Ty Lue. And things just weren't looking super great. And Daryl, the idea of working with Doc Rivers again was so strong with Daryl that, you know, their relationship is strong enough that it pulled him away from the Rockets organization so that he could be the president of basketball operations for the 76ers. And the 76ers are footing that bill because Daryl Morey stepped away from his contract, leaving money on the table, which means that if he gets hired by another team, that team has to foot the bill on the rest of his contract. So the 76ers are putting their money where their mouth is, and they are fielding a really impressive staff over there. And it sucks. It really does. That the Rockets had a top five, arguably top three general manager in the NBA. And again, the optics do not look good. They just don't. You know, for him to turn around and immediately jump to another organization that has, you know, I guess better prospects, that is willing to spend on an extravagant coaching staff, that is probably going to give him the green light to make whatever changes he deems necessary to the roster, regardless of cost, the optics do not look good for the ownership of the Houston Rockets. And I was firmly of the belief that Daryl was choosing to leave of his own accord, that he was not being forced out. And I do still believe that. I do still believe that Daryl chose to leave, but that because of how good he is at his job, he had offers lined up, ready to go. And I think maybe, you know, missing out on Doc Rivers and then Doc landing in Philly was probably that final thing that happened where it was just like, you know what? I gotta go. I'm done with this franchise. There's nothing else I can really do here. You know, the future of the Rockets franchise is very much cloudy right now, just because post James Harden era, there's not a lot to look forward to. Now, does that mean that they can't still compete and be competitive for these next two seasons? Absolutely not. They are still arguably, I think, a top six team in the Western Conference. You could still maybe make the argument for top four. And behind Steven Silas and behind, you know, the staff that he's going to pull in behind him, they will still be a competitive team. They're not blowing things up. They're not giving up. The games against the Lakers were still very close. You know, I think a lot of people were really doom and gloom about the Lakers series overall. The Game 5 blowout really kind of sealed their fate and I think left a bad taste in people's mouths. But you got to remember, they were close in every single one of those games except for Game 5. They just couldn't finish things off down the stretch of games. And that comes down to adjustments and losing out on having Daniel House for the final three games of the series, not having a healthy Russell Westbrook, not being able to game plan against the aggressive trapping scheme by the Lakers. There's a lot of variables that go into that, and it was still losing by close margins. At no point were any of the other four games in that series, the first four games in that series, at no point were any of them blowouts in favor of the Lakers, right? They just kind of ran away with the tail end of the games, you know, in the fourth quarters. So getting back to Daryl, it's just apparent to me that he had some disagreements with ownership. And I think that's the only thing that we can point to now, is that Daryl was not appreciative of, you know, again, the, you know, Tillman Fertitta can say all the live long day that he's greenlit Daryl Morey to spend money, that the organization is okay with going into the luxury tax, but they've yet to do it. And not only that, but they've also utilized assets, draft picks, young promising players to ship off contracts and to duck the tax, getting rid of players for free, essentially, to dodge the luxury tax every single season that Tillman Fertitta has been the owner. So not only has Daryl Morey probably had his hands tied in regards to the finances of the team, but not only that, but this past summer, Tillman Fertitta and Patrick Fertitta jumped in and hijacked the trade for Chris Paul for Russell Westbrook and forced Daryl Morey to give up so much draft compensation, knowing full well that it was probably an overpay for Russell Westbrook because, again, the front office, quote-unquote, got cold feet. I don't think they got cold feet. I think they just realized it was a bad trade from the get-go. And I still shoulder some of this blame onto James Harden, because it was James who probably went to Daryl and went to Tillman and said, hey, I want Russ. He's available now. I want him. Get Chris Paul out of here. I can't get along with him. It's either me or it's Chris Paul. Pick. And if James does that, then you have to cater to your star player. Now, Daryl was probably trying to get Russ, but he wasn't going to, you know, fork over a treasure trove of draft picks to get him. He was probably offering something like Chris Paul and a first and, I don't know, maybe Daniel House or something. Like, he was probably offering a much less lucrative trade package for Russ. And then at the end, after OKC kept saying, nope, we want more, we want more, we want more, Daryl was going to probably just pass on the deal, go back to James and say, hey, I tried. I tried to get you Russ. OKC's being too stubborn. We can't get it done. And instead, ownership jumps in, pulls the trigger on this Godfather-style deal, four first-round draft picks, two picks, two pick swaps, and Chris Paul for Russell Westbrook. And I think that may have been that final straw for Daryl, where he was just like, you know what? Screw it. You know, okay, they're going to come in and force me to trade away all these draft picks, and now we're stuck with a player that does not match the ebb and the flow of the franchise. It's nothing against Russ, but he is not as good of a fit next to James Harden as Chris Paul was. Anybody can see that. That's not me hating on Russ. That's just the fit of those two. Now, did they make it work? Were there stretches where it looked like this duo could be really dynamic and have a significant impact in the playoffs? Absolutely. And there was a period where Russ looked like he was really gelling and actually becoming the best version of himself with the five-out spacing. And you have to credit Daryl Morey and MDA for doing that for him as well, for shipping out Clint Capella. And being innovative and being at the forefront of saying, you know what, we're going five out, we're going small ball full time. It was a ballsy move, and I still stand by it. I think it was the right move, but we also have the report from ESPN's Tim McMahon that the Rockets had a trade lined up with the Thunder to bring in Nerlens Noel at the trade deadline. So there was never an intent or sorry, I apologize, there was never an intent to go small ball for an entire 48 minutes. They just failed at bringing in a big that they thought would be serviceable in a, you know, smaller, reduced role, say 15 to 20 minutes a night, to be that, again, that poor man's Clint Capela type big. So they were going to do that. I called that back at the trade deadline when it was first announced that they were trading Capela for Covington in that four-team trade. I firmly believed that they were trying to bring in a big to replace Capela. Not as a starter, but just to replace Capela's production, at least in the Harden minutes. Because then it doesn't matter if you have a non-shooter on the court. But if you have a non-shooter alongside Russ on the court, it messes up all the spacing for the Rockets. So I firmly believed that. It looked like that's what was going to happen. OKC got cold feet because they were actually, you know, performing pretty well and they wanted to make a playoff push, so they stuck with Nerlens Noel, and the rest is history. Rockets had to play small ball. They would not trust Isaiah Hartenstein to step in and fill the shoes of the center position, even on a 15-minute a night basis. That Tyson Chandler, the corpse of Tyson Chandler, was hanging out over on the bench and not worth his salt anymore, unfortunately. And that's just how the chips fell. And then ultimately they waived Isaiah Hartenstein to be able to make a spot for David Nwaba, which I will say was a smart play. And I'm excited about the addition of David Nwaba and what he's going to look like in a Rockets jersey this next season. But at the same time, why not waive Tyson Chandler? Why not keep the young promising big in Isaiah Hartenstein? Why not waive Tyson Chandler? So there's a whole lot that happened with this Rockets team this past season. But at the end of the day, I think that for a while now, the writing's been on the wall that Daryl wasn't able to perform his job to the best of his ability because of limitations placed by the Rockets ownership. So I wish him the best. I will be rooting for Philadelphia now as my Eastern Conference team. It was the Orlando Magic for a while. I really like the Magic, and I also really like the Heat. So those were kind of my two Eastern Conference teams that I would pull for. But I will legitimately be rooting for the Sixers now. They are now Rockets East for me. I apologize. Got my East-West mixed up. But, it stings. It's kind of salt in the wound at this point. But it is what it is. Now the Rockets have Raphael Stone at the helm. They've got Steven Silas at the helm as well as the new head coach. They've got to fill out their assistant coaches. And then they've got to start making roster moves because we've got more than likely a December 22nd NBA start date, which is right around the corner. So they've got to get the ball rolling, get some moves rolling, and hopefully get this roster shaped up for an exciting 2020-2021 NBA season. So with that, I think that's going to be the end of today's episode. As always, thank you so much for listening, and we look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.